Do you want your products seen by more buyers on Amazon, Etsy, and other marketplaces? Do you want to get more traffic, make more sales, and scale your brand? Welcome to the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked, where we discuss what signals are needed to send to your customers, to the algorithms, to the ad platforms, in order to get your product seen, converting, and profiting fast. With your host, former top 50 seller on all of Amazon, the Professor Howard Tai. This is the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked.
Assalamu alaikum and hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Level Up Amazon. And today we have Steven on the show. Thank you so much, Steven, for joining us today.
Hey, Steven, glad to have you on our podcast. You know, I hope you know you're kind of famous in Pakistan.
Oh, that you're too kind. Thank you. And happy Independence Day to everybody that celebrated that recently over in Pakistan.
Yeah. Thank you so much on that.
Yeah, every time I interview someone and I ask them, who do you follow? And they're always like, my Amazon guy, Stephen Pope.
Well, I appreciate that. That makes me feel really good. And I think that everybody over in Pakistan is extraordinarily eager to learn. And I think that Pakistan is going to overtake a lot of the power inside of the Amazon selling space because they're so eager and hungry and just want to roll up their sleeves and do whatever it takes to succeed. And so we all know that the number one skill on Amazon is tenacity, right? And Pakistan is just full of tenacious individuals, mm-hmm. right? And just as one example, the aggregators that dumped like what, $11 billion into the space, and they're all laying people off and they're all failing right now. And they tried to hire, you know, Excel wizards, MBA people, and suits, as I like to call them, right? If they had just hired some Pakistanis, they probably would have been better off, right? Like the tenacity that's required to run an Amazon account is far more important.
Yeah. Yeah. At our company, we always talk about grit.
People with grit and tenacity.
Yeah. All right. So, go ahead, Sishan.
I mean, it's true. Like, yeah. So we have a lot of people here who are really, really have hunger to learn. And they are always like keep looking on the new stuff and like joining different groups and following different industry experts to learn more, joining different courses. So yeah, that's true. I mean, I have been into this space for like more than 4 years. I am like one of the pioneers who started teaching Amazon in Pakistan. So like I am quite familiar with those people who has really scaled their skill level till now and like formed their own agencies, and they are doing really, really well. And I'm pretty sure like you do have some of the team members from Pakistan as well.
We do.
And that's really awesome to hear that.
We will hire any competent person for any of our jobs. And if that means the most competent person for the roles in Pakistan, that's perfect. We'll hire there.
Great. So, Steven, I think you have a presentation for us today, correct?
I do. So we're going to be talking today about how to gain PPC market share. And I think that the number one skill that a lot of people have in Pakistan is data analysis, right? I think the mistake a lot of Pakistanis are doing right now is focusing on dropshipping. And I think that those people are going to collapse their business model in the next 1 or 2 years. But focusing on PPC skills specifically and learning how to gain market share is going to be a really valuable skill no matter where you are in the Amazon space, right? So private label, building your own brand, that's the future. And today, a lot of people in Pakistan or other countries around the world are service providers, and they're learning their craft. They're getting into the weeds and they're learning their skills. And this thing that we're going to talk about today is going to help both service providers as well as brand owners. And so when we talk about PPC market share, we're trying to gain additional impressions clicks, add to carts, and purchases. And I call this the ICAP marketing funnel. And if you can improve your PPC market share on impressions or on clicks, that, of course, is going to lead to more add to carts and more purchases. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We also include this as part of our SEO phase four, which is why you see some of the SEO phase four components. But on today's podcast, we're going to be talking a lot more about the PPC angle of the market share report. And it's also called the search query report. And we're going to do a live demonstration and look at some of that live data. What's really cool about this data is that you can match the conversion rate to a keyword now. You could not do that before. And so that opens up a lot of windows. You also now know what your click-through rate is on a listing. Now, the one thing that you don't know is you can't separate your PPC and SEO from each other in this particular report, but it will still be extraordinarily valuable to dissect this and understand it with that in mind. One of the questions I like to ask is your market share today a tornado or a pyramid? So if it's a tornado, that means you have a higher percentage of clicks or maybe impressions. And as it goes down the funnel, when it gets to the add to carts or the purchases, it shrinks. Now, if you have a pyramid, this means you have a smaller set of impressions or a smaller set of clicks, but then your conversion rate's really strong and you can get more add to carts and purchases. Now, my understanding, whether you have a tornado or a pyramid, that will tell you where to focus your PPC spend. And for the most part, the pyramids are where you should be gaining your PPC market share. So when we look at some live data, we can look at and see like specific keyword examples of when something had less impression share, but had a higher purchase rate. And if you spend more money on the impressions and gain some PPC market share, it will have a greater effect. It'll be cheaper PPC, lower CPC costs, improved CTR, and bigger benefit. So if your clicks market share is higher than your impressions, you could have a pyramid. And so the solution there would be to spend more on PPC and include exact match text in the A+ content and SEO. If your click market share is lower than your impression market share, you have a tornado. And your solution would be to improve the conversion rate and update the main photo, A+ content, and design. If your pyramid becomes a tornado at the purchase part of the ICAP marketing funnel, you have a major problem. Buyers are seeing clicking add to cart, but they abandon at that purchase level. So the solution to there is almost always lower the price, run some retargeting and A/B testing against competitors. And one of the tools we use is PickFu to do that. So these are all the solutions and the problems in a marketing funnel. But here is my case study of when we took everything we just talked about and put it to practical use. So this keyword right here, sage candles for cleansing house, was the first keyword I ran this technique against. And within 7 weeks, I took the market share on the impressions from 2.75% to 7.5%. So basically tripled it. Almost the same exact tripling through clicks, add to carts, and purchases. And here you can basically see about 1 out of 5 people who searched this keyword purchased my product. That's a pretty significant jump. And so this technique is very easy to replicate. Once you understand the theory here, anybody at home right now could implement this today and see results within 3 to 5 days. Very, very quick to figure out how to make these changes. So we're going to go over now to some live data. And in here, we're going to walk you through the search query performance report. This is a new report. It's in beta. And I think it's the coolest piece of data that we've gotten out of Amazon in like 2 years. I think this report is so powerful and so helpful that everybody should be looking at this report. Now, new product launches and new brands, this report will not help you as much. So this is better for the established data sets. But as we walk through and define this for you, you'll immediately understand like why this is so powerful. First of all, you have it by the brand level. So you don't have it at the SKU level. You have it at the brand level. You can look at weekly reporting, monthly or quarterly. So maybe a weekly snapshot isn't as effective. You want to look at a later data set. And you can select the week. So here's the coolest part about the report. This is automatically tracking your market share down to a keyword level historically. And if I want to go back all the way to 1 year ago, I can. So if I wanted to see what my data looked like then, I'd click that, hit apply, and we have completely different data sets on screen. So like that Sage Candles for Cleansing House keyword doesn't even show up a year ago for me, right? And when the report first came out, I want to say it was like March, right? And I think it was week 11 when Search Query Performance came out and I became aware of it. And I looked at this report and I saw this keyword right there. So this data should variably match pretty close to what we had on that graphic there, give or take a week on the data. So my market share was small, my clicks got bigger. And as it went down, it just got bigger and bigger. So it might've been week 13 instead of week 11. But then when we got to week 20, I think this is the week we topped out on our data. We were able to increase the market share on the brand impressions, the clicks, the add to carts, and the purchases. I was looking at the wrong line. So that top line right there, here we go. So 7.5% on Sage Candles for Cleansing House on impression market share. So ICAP marketing funnel, I for impressions, C for clicks, A for add to carts, and P for purchases. And the purchase data is a little bit to the right over here. So you can see 18.8%, basically one out of five people purchasing this product after clicking this keyword. What's really interesting about this is that my product had nothing to do with candles. So if we go over to my brand store here, here's some of the products I sell. I've got soaps, I've got tumbler sets and kits, and I show all this publicly. It's lots of fun to do that. One of my biggest launches ever was that spa mom gift set. When I launched the incense sticks, I think it was in like November of last year. So we're coming up on 1 year. Got almost 1,000 reviews in 1 year. I don't think reviews are important for launching, by the way. And I was able to get the number one new release badge for incense when we launched this product, which obviously made a lot of benefits to that. But what you'll notice here is that this is just Sage Sticks. That's all it is, just a bundle of Sage Sticks. This is a commodity product. Now, if we take that keyword, which I have since added to my title right there, and we go over to Amazon and we type it in, I have PPC slot number one. That is done on purpose, right? I actively thought this keyword was good for me. I'm positioning myself in PPC slot number one. As you look around at the page here and you scroll down, what do you see? Candle, 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 more candles, candle, 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 right? And for me to show this is to make a point. My product is not a candle. So when I first launched my product, I was focused on a completely different keyword set. I saw this data here on the Search Query Performance Report. I saw a keyword where I was like, what? Candles? Why would Amazon put this on my report? And I immediately said, well, if Amazon put it on this report, it must be important, right? They had put it at the number one keyword slot for me. So what I was able to ascertain is that Amazon is automatically ranking these queries as most important to least important for your brand. So not only do you have a trackable keyword set week to week, this does require brand registry, but you've got week to week results. It automatically tracks, it pre-sorts it by the most important to least important. It's easy to understand, it's easy to action, and you have an amazing opportunity. So 7.5% brand share of impressions, 20% clicks, 20% add to carts, and just under 19% on purchases. And that's for one single keyword. Now, what I did is I started advertising on the keyword, Sage Candles for Cleansing House. I set up an exact match campaign. I set up a broad match campaign. And now we own this keyword, right? As we scroll down, my organic listing will also eventually show up, and it's right there. So I'm not in the top 5 or 10 organic listings for this keyword right now. But what's interesting though, is the data. So let's go back 7 weeks. I think it was week 13 here when we first started this. When you look at the data though, and it's on the second row now, the data said I had 2.75% of the impressions, but 7.5% of the clicks. And at this time, back on week 13, I was not advertising for this keyword. So this was a signal. Amazon was saying, hey, this keyword's really important. It's up high on your search query score. You have only less than 3% of the impressions, but you have 7% of the clicks. So Amazon was basically telling us the data and the signal that you should pay more attention to this. So I set up some advertising. I improved the SEO. And then all of a sudden, by week 20, I tripled my results. So that is how, or the theory behind the ICAP marketing funnel. So I'm going to pause there because that was a lot to take in. But Baldwin and Zeeshan, if you guys want to ask questions about ICAP, feel free.
Yeah, well, first, thanks for going over this report. I'm sure a lot of people, this might be like the first time they're seeing this report. But yeah, so when do you, I guess, if you look in the purchases for your product, even though you're getting high searches, how does that correlate to your purchases?
So as you go down the funnel, right, and we try to make this look like an actual marketing funnel, right? So like we're getting back to old school marketing funnel concepts. You lose people the farther down the funnel you go. This is true in any marketing funnel ever. But now for the first time, Amazon is giving us access to how we stack up against everybody else. So you see how we have a brand count right here and the impression counts right here. So if my brand is only one of 9,000 brands showing up for this query, but I have 7.5% of all impressions, my market share is gigantic. And so both of the organic listing where I've got the Amazon's choice for this keyword, which I mean, it's just incredible, right? Like The fact is that the consumers were buying my product based on this keyword, even though it's not a freaking candle, right? So like marketers fall into this trap all the time. They're like, oh, I know what the customer wants and I will give it to them. Sometimes as marketers, we have no freaking idea what the customer wants. The great thing about this report is Amazon is telling us what the customer wants. They want my Sage smush kits. They don't want candles. If they wanted a candle, they wouldn't be clicking on my product compared to everybody else, right? And they wouldn't be purchasing my product at a higher proportion. So even though I only own about 7% of the impressions, and let's see, what was the clicks number? I own 20% of the clicks and then just under 20% of the purchases. So that means I have holding power that once they click on the product, 1 out of 5 will purchase, right? 1 out of 5 in the entire market space for searching for that keyword. Yeah. So as you look at the data, you can see how you stack up against all the brands and you can see like, okay, if I lose market share at a particular part of the journey, let's see if we can find one where I lose market share. It looks like Sage is a good example. So Sage, which by the way, my daughter's name is Sage. She's 3 years old. And the only reason I sell Sage smudge kits is because I have a daughter named Sage. Terrible reason to go into selling a product, I might add, but I needed an excuse to use my daughter's name in a brand. And I was like, well, if I'm going to go with Sage, I might as well sell Sage. And then I figured out how to manufacture. That is the absolute wrong way to do it. Don't replicate doing this for family. But someday when she turns 18 or when she becomes an adult at a later stage, I plan on giving her the brand, right? So there's a lot of meaning to the success. And as you can imagine, it's 2022 right now, 15 years from now, how many reviews am I going to have on this listing? Assuming I can keep it going and make it profitable, right? So I'm thinking in the future, long term. But so let's go to the listing itself. And so we made multiple variations here, a 3, a 6, a 12, and a 100 pack. I am making money on the 3 pack, but if you look at my pricing history, I actually went to market starting at $8. And at the time, subscribe and save or ship small and light was not going to allow me to make money until the $8 mark, right? I think small and light at one point was as low as $7 before they let you into that program. So we might have gone to market at 7 for like a couple of weeks, and I moved it up to 8. And then I was one of the first to notice that they moved small and light to $10. So I wanted to get as close to that $10 mark as I can. It hurt my BSR, my sales when I raised the price, but I became more profitable. But we have this product is generally ranked right around BSR 17,000, give or take. So it's very, very high up. And then my hope is that somebody will grab the 6-pack, the 12-pack, and the 100-pack, right? Because there's barely a difference between the 3 and the 6, right? Mm-hmm. Barely at all. Okay, so what else could be helpful for you guys to ask me? So, because if you guys have the question, you're thinking it in your head, somebody in the audience is going to be thinking it too.
Yeah, for me, like, this is great for you, how you just, Amazon just randomly, or I don't even know if it's randomly, how... When did you find out that, hey, is it because of the search query performance report?
Yeah. So basically, I became more aware of this report during week 13. So if we go back to week 13 here, I looked at the report and I noticed this keyword and I was like, what? Like, what's, well, why is this keyword here? This isn't relevant to my product. Mm-hmm. Right. And then the more I looked at it, I was like, kind of looks pretty relevant. People are clicking on it more than other products. So I was like, well, if people are clicking on it for more other product, I'm going to spend more PPC here. And then I started actually creating dedicated keyword campaigns. So here's another example, right? Spanish. And I took 3 years of high school Spanish, so I'm going to butcher this, but Salvia Blanca Para Limpiar, right? Like, which is very topical. I forget what the actual translation of this is. So we'll go to English and see what it translates to. So white sage to cleanse is what that Google translation is, right? So definitely topical to my product, but in Spanish, right? So somebody who doesn't speak the native languages or even the secondary native languages will also find some Spanish keywords in the US market, especially. This report's not available in Europe, unfortunately. It's obviously a brand new report. They haven't rolled it out anywhere else. But in the future, when they roll it out to Europe, you'd be able to look at the Italian, the German, the Spanish, the English, whatever, and be able to cross-examine and extrapolate. But so I took every keyword on here and I went one by one to decide like what one is most important. And I put exact match keyword campaigns together, put broad match keyword campaigns together. I put it in, and by the way, when you're trying to gain market share on something, you can't just think about this from a PPC lens only, right? You got to think about the conversion to the design and all that. And so in this particular instance, I didn't have to change anything to improve my market share. It was just close enough. But if you were selling an animal treat that was both consumable by a cat and a dog, and the data on the search query performance, let's just say there was like 20 keywords around dog treats that were showing up and nothing for cats. And then on your design photos, it was showing cats. That's a problem, right? You'd have to redo to the design to gain your market share further because nobody wants to feed their dog a cat treat, right? So when you, some people might be in charge of just PPC, but not have the listing control. And so what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to look for these keywords and find the wins they can do with PPC only, and then try and extrapolate to the brand owner and say, hey, by the way, we just gained market share on Sage Candles for Cleansing House. I didn't think it was relevant, but after testing a PPC campaign with an ACOS of 20%, you might want to put that in your title. So what did I do? I put it in my title, right? I also put Spanish in my title. And what I found out is when I did that, what happened is my conversion rate went up, not down. And I was really worried it was going to go down by adding Spanish. So there's just straight up, like, you can just go immediately take these keywords, put them in your listing and see results. All right, and then let's go to week 32 and let's see if we can find something where I shrink, right? So I think White Sage, this it's a little bit subtle on this keyword, but we'll do it. So this one has a brand share of 3% and it shrinks down to 2.3 on the clicks, and it shrinks down to 2.04 on the add to carts, and then 0.9 on the brand share. So this one is a tornado. So when we talk about tornadoes versus pyramids, this keyword loses market share. So if you're trying to figure out why that is, what you could do is you could go to the search result, type in White Sage, and see what comes up. Now, I happen to also be the number one slot on this keyword. But as we look down the list, is there a reason I'm not able to gain market share on White Sage despite having a high organic result, despite having the number one PPC result on this keyword? So if we look at the data, search query volume is 1,600. Over 2,800 brands show up, and I'm only getting 3% of the impressions and 2% of the clicks. So it's way harder to extrapolate and figure out, like, okay, why am I not getting as many clicks? Is there something else in the main image of these other products that screams White Sage way better than mine? And I don't know the answer to that, right? Because, however, what do we see right there? That product, it says White Sage straight on the product. So when you look at these keywords and you're trying to improve your market share, sometimes a main image edit might be called for. If I had determined that White Sage was the most important keyword for my product, what I would do right on this main image here is I would switch my box from Age of Sage and I would just write White Sage instead. And I would Photoshop it. And then if the data checked out, I then might update the packaging too. So that's one way you could improve your market share without changing any of your PPC campaigns, is just change the main image to have the word on the image. It's like, this is like, I think this is the number one Amazon hack ever. Simply put the word that's important to your product on the main image. That's it. That's the hack. And it makes tremendous differences. Absolute tremendous differences. We could run multiple searches here. Like let's go to Amazon.com. You guys spit out a product, any product you want.
Yeah, the famous one, Garlic Press. Everyone loves that product.
Okay, what's the product called again?
Garlic Press.
Still having a hard time understanding you, Zeeshan. Baldwin, did you understand him?
Garlic Press? Is that what you said?
Garlic Press,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try Garlic Press. So how many of the images have the word Garlic Press on them? There's one, there's two. Two out of four of the ads right there, smack dab already. And this is a commodity product. We're probably not going to see it on very many packaging. There's one right there. There's one right there. There's one. So if we looked at the data, I believe the ones that would have the highest click-through rate are either going to be the ones with the word Garlic Press straight on the main image, like these two, or the one that shows the most accessories and the product in use, a la show me the garlic. So those, I bet you one of those two angles will increase the market share versus looking at this one, whereas this product looks like it could be like a can opener almost. You're not really sure when you first see it, right? This one will have a lower click-through rate, my prediction.
So you would definitely recommend people optimizing their listing according to what they see. So kind of like leaning in to what Amazon's telling us to, that where our listing is appropriate for.
Correct. So sometimes market share gain can be done via PPC only. You take a list like this and just make sure every keyword has a campaign. That would be a technique that would work. Sometimes if you're hyper focused on one or two keywords that you really want to increase market share on, they could be high volume, they could be medium volume. It doesn't matter. You could put the keyword straight into the package or the main image title or the main image or the title of the product or on the packaging of the main image and attack it that way. And in other instances, you would have to have like a person, so like bridal registry search by bride's name or wedding gifts for couples for 2022, right? So if I have a, this is a gigantic keyword, lots of impressions, I only have a 0.4% market share on this, and it's probably going to be my Mr. and Mrs. Cups. And we might even not see it on the search page because my market share is so low, it may not even show on page one. But if we were to try and improve on that particular keyword, and I don't even see mine yet, but I'm pretty sure which product this one's for. So let's go back to my store here. I bet you it's for this one right here, the Mr. and Mrs. And if I don't have a picture of wedding couples or registries or anything like that, then why would somebody buy my set versus somebody else's, right? If this is the keyword that matters, wedding gifts for couples, unique 2022, then we have to have something in the listing that makes the product relevant for that. Yeah. And actually, I'm gonna shoot off an action item to my team to add a picture of a wedding or something to this listing.
Just make sure you don't lose another $5,000 on this product.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually lost money on this product because I lowered the price too low for too long. This product was dead to me. It sat for like a year with hundreds of units at Amazon. And so I lowered it down to $15 and then forgot about it. Right. So us supposed Amazon experts, we can make mistakes, and you gotta hold yourself accountable sometimes, right? Like just $5,000, just gone. Bye. See ya. But I sold 500 units.
Well, maybe that's why you're showing up now.
It could be for sure. All right. So this listing needs a picture of a wedding or bridal gift element to it. Maybe a groom and bride, something like that.
Oh, can you show us where to find this report? Because it's kind of hidden. Well, I mean, there's a blaring green bar, but it's actually really easy to miss if people are trying to look for it.
Absolutely. So I just put it in the chat. I gave a direct link in the chat. If you could share that in the comments for everybody watching, that's the best, my favorite way to get here. This is in the brand analytics section. So up here in the top nav, you can see these various different things that are available. Amazon search terms. See how it pulls up the brand analytics dashboard, right? So the way to get here is to put your cursor over brands, and you can see brand analytics, but this search query dashboard is kind of hidden, right? You would expect that they would include it on like this report right here. They don't. So that's why my favorite way is to just type it in directly. I would bookmark this on your dashboard. I would bookmark this on your bookmark bar, solarcentral.amazon.com/brand analytics/dashboard.
It's actually that. If you go into that brand analytics page, it's that button right there, view search analytics.
So it can be missed because it's not in the regular nav. So yeah. View search analytics. All right, there you go. Best way to get there. So brands, brand analytics, click the button. Here you go. Or bookmark it and check it every week.
Zichon, you have any other
questions? Yeah, so another thing, but we have tested to increase the click share is like if you have a variation inside your listing, then show up those variations on the main image. So like the people know you have the variations. And I know like the Gorilla Grip brand, they are doing like fabulous job on this. They are like doing some sort of tag on their main image, which shows the customer like there are some variations inside of this particular listing. So that is the another, you can say, hack or you can say trick to increase the click share.
I agree with you. So here's an example listing. So we got some soaps, we have various different scents, boxes, etc. If you're selling a clothing item or something that comes in like black, red, blue, you could also put into the main image off to the right or a corner, a swatch list of all the things that are available. Totally agree with that hack. Very good one.
Yeah, like sometimes Amazon is like way too off, like the case you have shared with us. Apparently, the keyword is not relevant to the product, but you are doing great on that.
So I think what we proved here is that if it's on this report, it is relevant. You just may not think it is yet. So, so I would challenge anybody to test it themselves, right? Now, obviously, with a brand like Age of Sage, I'm selling in 5 different categories. Not every one of these keywords is pertinent to my smudge kits. So you do have to like go keyword by keyword and be like, okay, which product is this for? Right. I think that they should add a second column here for ASIN. But by and large, we're going to know that anything related to Sage or smudge kit is going to be for the Sage product.
Yeah, that'd be too easy. Amazon doesn't like to make things easy for us.
But if we look at soap, anything that talks about soap, so like Dr. Squatch, gigantic search volume, 25,000. I'm a minuscule 0.22% of their market share. I sell the exact same product as them. They just package it better and they charge a lot more. Right. But literally we have the same manufacturer.
Yeah.
So if I wanted to rank on Dr. Squatch without violating their intellectual property, I could. At the very least, though, I could spend PPC money. But there's 40 pages of data here. I mean, just check this out. You can go to the next page, page after page after page. All of this data. Gifts under $5. That's a random one. None of my products sell for $5 or less, though. But you can see I still have a 1% market share on that keyword. That's pretty big considering the generic nature of it.
So would you say that your first go-to is to look at your brand share?
Yes. You would want to look first at your impression share and then your click share, those two things. And so if you decide something's relevant and then you want to chase it, you need to track it. So you're gonna say, hey, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Champagne Glasses or Soaps for Men gift set. This is actually a really good one for me. The search query is only 3 though, so it's not really that relevant, right? So you could sort this by search volume. So let's see if it lets me sort it by search. It does. So let's go back to page 1. We've now sorted it by search volume, and the word Yeti is showing up, and I have 0% of the market share, right? But let's say I want to chase Yeti. Terrible idea. But let's say I did, then I would then start putting Yeti into my content or PPC and chasing it to see if I could rank for it. Now, obviously, I can't put it in the listing without bearing trademark infringement issues, and that would be a problem. But birthday gifts for women, boom, that's an opportunity, right? Almost all of my products would qualify for this, and we could go down that route. But as you look at these search volumes, like Dr. Squatch soap, at 0.22% is the highest of the big search volume keywords. 1% there on the word Sage. Sage is probably the most important one for my brand because it literally is in the name of the brand. And so we're going to be able to dominate that. 1% on bridal registry search by bride's name. Very, very niche, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 word long tail keyword. And if I put an exact match into a PPC campaign or the title or wherever, it's gonna improve my market share. Like I just guarantee it. And so that's why this is so easy to do, right? It's literally grab the keyword, open my PPC campaigns, type the keyword in, submit, done. It's as simple as that.
So like do you target in the exact match?
I do both broad and exact. Obviously, something like cups. I wouldn't act on this data in any shape or form, but if you did a broad match on cups, I mean, good luck. I mean, that's just, you're going to in a world of pain waiting for that. But something like this, where it's six keywords, you know, search query here, six words in the search query, building that out as an exact match, it's going to be a super low ACoS. And then the broad match works too, though, because some of these words are going to be interchangeable. So bridal registry versus wedding registry, like if you did a broad match on either one of these two terms, it would get the other one. And both are relevant. So that's why I think broad match is underrated. Also, if we had a broad match on a specific keyword like this versus the exact match, I almost guarantee you that in 50% of the instances, the broad match will outperform the exact. And that's because the cost will be lower. Doesn't mean the results will be better, the number of sales, but in half of the instances I have found, not only will the cost be lower, but also the sales will be about the same or better.
Yeah.
So you got to test it.
Yeah. Less people are bidding it on a broad form than exact. Okay, great. Thanks for all that. Awesome.
My pleasure.
Awesome presentation, awesome data. Are you finished with the presentation?
Yeah, any questions from the audience? Let's dive into them. So you can stop the screen share and we can dive into any questions you guys want.
Okay.
Yeah. So the very first one, I'm in Pakistan. So the people over here, the sellers over here are too much into the low price product. So I always ask this question to the guests, how do you manage the PPC for the low price product? Because this is the biggest pain our sellers are facing here in Pakistan.
You're going to have a variation with a parentage with a higher ticket item and hope for the upsells. You're going to advertise the low cost item at break even or slight loss to make money on a higher priced item. So for example, with the Sage Smudge kits that you guys saw, my 3-pack was my loss leader, and the 6, 12, and 100 packs, I make lots of money on. So I don't advertise the 100 pack, but when somebody lands there and they see the 100 pack option, 1% of them will click it and add it to their cart and purchase. So if you want to improve your ICAP, your impressions, clicks, add to carts, and purchases, as we talk about the ICAP marketing funnel, you're going to have to advertise low-cost items at a loss frequently. And then once you've done that, though, and you have sometimes people ask me, what would be better? To spend no PPC and have an $8 item, or to have $2 in PPC for every sale and have a $10 item? Chances are $8 and no PPC is the better option. But you can't exactly do that on day one. You'd have to advertise, get some sales, get some reviews, slowly pull off the ads, lower the price.
So would you also say that products like for example, your Sage Sticks, there's a potential for a lifetime value of people repeat purchases. Those products are better than a one-time purchase, low price item?
So I don't know that anybody benefits from subscribers on low priced items. It's almost the same in some instances, like the margin. But if somebody purchases a 3-pack and comes back and buys the 100-pack, I'm going to win all day long, right? So in that sense, the lifetime value is significantly higher. And then you can use the law of averages to say if 1% of the people buy the 100-pack on the second purchase, then my acquisition cost to buy somebody at a 3-pack goes up, right? I have the ability to spend more. It might only be a quarter per person if you average it all out, but I have that ability now to argue the lifetime value.
Okay. Is that other questions, Ishan?
So how to rank
from the audience?
Yeah. So how to rank easily through PPC and get lots of sales. So as low as price as possible and as best main image as possible, and always be advertising and never negate a good keyword. Do not negate your good keyword from the auto campaigns. It drives me so crazy when I hear experts talk about promoting a keyword and then negating it from the auto campaign where it's got a great ACoS. Then they put it in an exact match campaign and then it has a worse ACoS. Happens every time.
So do you see the PPC on the overall account ACoS level or the keyword ACoS level? I have seen people who are doing the keyword ACoS level, but you see there are some keywords which are giving you sales. They are super relevant. They are good, but the ACoS is high. But once you get to see the keywords, they have low ACoS and they are getting the sales. And once you combine overall ACoS, then it is under control. So how do you see that?
So it depends on the goals of the brand owner. Right. So if my goal is to gain market share, which is what we basically talked about this full hour, then I'm going to have a higher ACoS goal on what we're trying to gain market share on. If my goal is profit, though, then I'm going to be totally different. So this is the easiest way to answer this question. If you are managing somebody's account as a PPC specialist, ask the brand owner this question. Let's say it's not your brand, you're working for somebody else. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1, profit at the cost of growth, and 10, growth at the cost of profit. What is your number? Now, if your brand owner tells you I'm a 1, you're going to make very different PPC decisions versus if they tell you they're a 10, right? And so I think setting expectations and boundaries is the best way to do that. Now, if they told you a 10, but then told you, I want a 25% ACoS in supplements, you probably won't even take the business, right? Right? Like, because we all know that's impossible. But if they told you they were a 6 and that you could decide what the ACoS is, and you come back and say, cool, I think ACoS on supplements should be 56%, they might be okay with that because it's a slight growth plan and they can make money on the repeat orders and whatnot. Can you relate this strategy to Amazon KDP? Yes and no. So KDP, this is going to be your booksellers, your Kindle and whatnot. Unfortunately, while most of the tactics are applicable, you can still update the image, you can still update the title and look at search queries. You literally don't have as high a conversion rate on books, and the profit margins are almost one of the worst categories. So you won't have the same results, unfortunately. Somebody else asked, what is KDP? And that's basically the Kindle device platform. I think that's what it stands for, where you can buy books and load books and be an author. By and large, it's not a sustainable, scalable model. Most people that sell books, they won't tell you this, but most people that sell books, they don't make money on books. They sell the book to become get on stage and talk to people. They sell the book to get consulting business. Nobody makes money on selling books unless you're like one of the top 100 authors in the world. So it's also why I haven't done a book. I got courses over at Mag School, right? Like to sell PPC and SEO design courses. I would make less money to transfer that knowledge into book form.
I think there's one last question.
That is related to KDP as well.
So there is not, the search query performance report may not be in the KDP dashboard. So you could take the same concept and look at your keyword ranking. So instead of using the search query performance report, you could look at Cerebro or Helium 10 or another platform of your choice and look at what you rank for. So instead of doing the search query performance report, you might use Cerebro or another platform. We separate SEO phase 3 from SEO phase 4. Phase 4 is about market share. Phase 3 is about improving your keyword ranking, right? And so what we didn't talk about at all today is keyword rankings. We've got a bunch of video content where we talk about keyword rankings. But in short, you want to chase the keywords that you're in rank 20 through 50. Those are your strike zone keywords. If you can push a keyword from rank 25 up to rank 5, your impression share will be gigantically improved. So that's what I would focus on for KDP sellers.
All right. So I guess that's it from the audience. So the one last thing we always ask to our guests, like the fun fact, what is the like funniest thing happened to you in your Amazon journey?
Boy, I can laugh about it now, but this nice bottle is a reminder on my desk about how ridiculous Amazon can be sometimes. I have in my hand a Sweet Heat hot sauce. Very tangy, delectable hot sauce. I spent $1,500 just designing this label, right? I came up with like 18 label concepts, A/B tested it, and found that honeycomb with the chili pepper next to it was the highest converting design. So I do all this stuff. I then ship 1,000 of these bottles into Amazon. And I pay Amazon to do the prep work. And for those that haven't ever paid Amazon to do prep work before, let me tell you, they don't do it the way you think would make sense. They take my bottle like this. It's a 5-pound freaking bottle. They put bubble wrap around it. So far, so good. They put my FN SKU label on it. So far, so good. And then they take my 5-pound glass bottle and they freaking ship it out in a padded envelope, not a box. And so my first day of launching, I got 20 pictures from customers, hot sauce shards, glass broken everywhere, and everybody demanding refunds. I am flabbergasted. I cannot for the life of me figure out why would Amazon ship a 5-pound glass bottle in a padded envelope? This is why, as Amazon sellers, you have to control your own destiny. You must ship it in a box for the consumer from day one. which sucks because then I have to package and do the bubble wrap myself. And at the time when I did this, I didn't have a warehouse. Now I do. I could probably pull it off. I gave up on the project though, and my hot sauce dreams are gone.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for that story. So for maybe like the three people in Pakistan that don't know who you are, where can they find you?
So myamazonguy.com. You can follow us on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button while you're over there. And we have a lot of things going on. We actually just launched today solarcentraljobs.com, which connects people just like onlinejobs.ph. This platform is for anybody in the world to get an Amazon job. Employers can sign up as well to find their next virtual assistant. Employees can sign up to find their next employer. We have Mag School, which is mag-school.com. We sell courses there for under $20. And then let's see what else. I've got my refund guy, my Walmart guy, my Etsy guy, my eBay guy. A lot of different things we got going on. But if anybody wants to send me a note, you can find me on LinkedIn as well. Thanks for having me on, gentlemen.
Yep. Thank you so much
for coming. For your time. Thank you so much. All right. Take care. Bye. Bye, everyone.
We'll see you guys.
Bye.
Do you want your product seen by more buyers on Amazon, Etsy, and other marketplaces? Do you want to get more traffic, make more sales, and scale your brand? Welcome to the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked, where we discuss what signals are needed to send to your customers, to the algorithms, to the ad platforms, in order to get your product seen, converting, and profiting fast. With your host, former top 50 seller on all of Amazon, the Professor Howard Tai. This is the Signalytics Podcast. Signal Code Unlocked.